Hey, how about that then? A brand new theme tune. Ring a bell, is it?
Yeah, I love the twist on the old
That was good. I said to our maestro, Aidan Bell, let's have a new theme tune for our new PSC. And I said, it would be really, really good fun if we had something to do with the Nokia theme tune. And I looked into it, and it looked like to use the tune itself was going to be, you know, asking for trouble, basically, on copyright.
Mm,
so
yeah.
I said to him, make something that sounds just like it or is instantly recognisable as something like it. And so he went off and he worked really hard on it. Good old Aidan. He's a good lad, really. Anyway, we're back with PSC. It's show 868, and it's right in the middle of September. And it's just you and I today, Joe.
It is.
We've got a launch of the iOS 26 today, and we've roped in 2 weeks' time Pip Tomlinson, who lives in Barcelona. He's going to be coming on to talk about his first week, 10 days or whatever, of having the new hardware, and also, no doubt, the software too. I don't know if you haven't got your iPhone yet, have you? So
no, I'll discuss that later. It's a bit okay. Frustrating, to say the least.
Okay, well, I've got an iPhone here, and I haven't yet seen if it's downloaded, but it apparently is downloaded, and it's out there, so we'll no doubt come to that. It's also the day on which the in some parts anyway, the One UI 8 and Android 6 has come to the S25 series. Have you still got your S25 there?
No, I switched that out.
All your lovely posh phones have all gone now.
I know.
Anyway, so some people are saying that that's arriving as well. So it's an interesting day, this Monday, the 15th of September, where everything seems to be happening. Just a reminder of the website. It's at phoneshowchat.uk now, and you'll find stuff, links to all the stuff we're going to be talking about on the show there. It should all be in your podcatcher with a Trailing Wind links on there too. Though I'm not as good at doing this podcatcher, the RSS thing as Steve was. He used to get the photo of the week in there, and I haven't got to that one yet. But we're working on it. If you want a guest on the PSC show, do give us a shout, let me know, and we'll slot you in somewhere. We are booked up now till January, believe it or not, every fortnight, but we are going to slot in extra shows as needed here and there on the Mondays between the fortnightly shows. So if needed, we can leap and see if we can get something going there. A bit of feedback from the last show. Dennis Schreiner, he was talking about show length. Now, I don't know if anyone noticed, but the last show was an hour and, what was it, 25 minutes, Joe? Something like that?
Yeah, it was close to an hour and a half, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I did wonder if that would go down well or not. But Dennis says he is really enjoying the new look PSC, thank you. And he reckons that between 60 and 90 minutes long is perfect for a podcast. Thanks and kind regards, he says, to get the show going and keep it going.
Yeah, it's great to get positive feedback. Cheers, Dennis.
Certainly is. Well, we don't have any guests this week, so we'll skip over the guest device, what we're calling the guest gala, and leap straight into the news. And the first bit of news is that the Pixel 10 Pro XL has been put through the jerry-rig what's-its durability test, and it passed it with flying colours. Now, I don't know if you've had any contact with the 10 Pro XL in your professional life at the moment, Joe. Have you had hands on?
Only to make sure the rolling demos are while it's in the clamp. Yeah,
right.
Not really, other than that.
Okay.
I had the Pro for a little while, but I've decided to go iPhone. But yes, lovely device. I'm not surprised it passes because the 9 Pro XL did quite well, didn't it? So It's pretty much the same.
My little 9 here is, it feels really solid. Much as I don't like it looking like an iPhone, you've got to admit that it, you know, the structure of the device, it just feels like a, you know, like a tank, really. So,
yeah.
Like you, I'm not really surprised that the 10 Pro XL passed. Anyway, we'll put a link in the show notes to Jerry's, what does he call it? Jerry Riggs. Can't remember what the word is now. Anyway,
durability.
Yeah. Anyway, it apparently it passed with flying colours. So there you go.
Yeah.
So S25 rolling out today for the One UI 8 and the Android 16. So we'll see what people make of that. Probably on the next show now. And the iOS 26, as I said earlier, that has landed today for some people. So that was the general news, I think. We'll have to come back to both of those items. But new phones. Now, new phones. We've got a few in here. One of them caught your eye particularly, didn't it? Which was the Vivo X300 Ultra.
Yeah, very excited about this one. Because I loved the X100 Ultra, and I've heard amazing things about the X200 Ultra. Because it's got two 200 megapixel cameras, which is very exciting. What world's first?
Yeah, 200. Well, we did go through a kind of phase of everyone saying, "Ugh, megapixels are meaningless," but there must be something in it because, you know, it's got a 1/1.4-inch sensor on it as well, but on both of them. So presumably, this is the wide angle and the main camera, is it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's the fact that it's paired with rather large sensors as far as phones go, yeah. But no doubt it'll be China only again, though. That's the problem.
Right. Did you, you got hands-on with the X100, did you?
Yeah, I actually bought that in MeWe Classified.
Oh, okay. So someone had imported it, have they?
Yeah.
I don't believe that I've ever seen a Vivo phone on sale anywhere in the UK. You know, it's just not sold here, I don't think. Certainly not on contracts or anything. Well, you should know.
I've not seen them either. Yeah, the Pro was global, though. And by all accounts, the Pro is going to be very good with the X300 range as well.
Right. Okay, it looks like another iPhone. I'm afraid, in terms of the blockiness of it. The whacking great big circle on the back doesn't, though. That looks more like a Nothing Phone 3A Pro, or whatever it's called, which is just unwieldy, isn't it? It's massive. And, you know, I can't wait for them to move away from this whole size of that. Can you?
I don't know, though, because one thing I will say, like Techspert always says, it is quite a nice little shelf to hold your phone with,
right,
where the camera bump comes out. It does actually feel well, because like the V5 has got a bit of a camera bump on it as well. And yeah, it just sits in the hand quite nice with the camera bump above your finger.
Right, yeah, I take the point, yeah. And perhaps that's why, you know, they survive, because that they can be handy. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that one. The Xperia 10 Mark 7 has got an announcement as well. Now the 10 Mark 7, Sony Xperia 10 Mark 7, has leapfrogged the Xperia 5 Mark 7, which presumably means we're still not going to get a 5, because they've slowly inched the specs up on the 10 Mark 7, and they're selling it out right away, and it's £399 or £425 with a case from Sony. I almost bought one, you know. I went on their website and it was begging me to buy one with 2 days delivery on it, and I thought, I don't know, I've got lots of Sony phones here. But they've made it IP65 and 68. They've made it Android 15 with four major upgrades on it, which is really good. They've kept the micro SD card. They've unfortunately kept it at 128 gigabytes of storage and 8 gigs of RAM. That's a shame, but built to a price, I suppose. Stereo speakers, which we'll have to see what they're like. It's still got the 3.5 millimeter jack and the high res audio stuff going on. It's got no Qi charging, which was a leap too far, it would seem. And actually one of the reasons why I took my finger off the order button, because if it had, had Qi charging, frankly, I think I probably would have gone ahead and done it, and then reviewed it and sold it on, sort of thing, but I didn't, and that was the reason. It has still got the 5,000 milliamp hour battery, though, and for the first time, it's got a, for a 10 series device, it's got a shutter button. Now, it's not the two-stage shutter button that comes with other ones. It's a one-stage, just tap it and shoot. But it is, I do believe, it's also paired up with a screenshot function as well. So I think it's an interesting enough device. And the design is quite interesting as well on the back there, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the little bit, little Sony on the camp, the pixel camera bump. Looks very pixel-esque.
Oh yeah, that's right. But that, yeah, the island is just a complete rip off of Pixel. Everyone is just copying everyone else, aren't they? Which in one sense it seems a bit sad, but because no one's got their own identity anymore, and everything's going to just look the same eventually. But I suppose in another sense, you know, don't break what's not. Don't break what not's broken.
Yeah. Well, on saying that, they've gone away from 21x9, haven't they, as well?
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? They followed the one series and they've got rid of 21x9, and they've made it 19.529, the same as the other ones. I think there's enough interesting stuff going on here to give it a look. I think for what the pricing is, it depends how you value the 3.5 millimeter and the micro SD card slot. But it's Snapdragon 6 Gen 3 chipset. It probably will be absolutely fine for the target audience. But I just pulled away. Didn't quite click it on, and I wasn't quite sure, so I didn't. Wireless charger would have done it.
Yeah, you've got enough good Sonys, haven't you, anyway, in your arsenal.
Exactly, but it is nice, and I like the look of it, and I like the colours of it as well. I like the blue colour. The blue's my favourite. And the other thing that was announced this week was the Samsung Galaxy S25 FE. Well, it was announced a while ago now, actually, but some people are now getting them in their hand. Our good friend Chad Dixon has taken delivery on his. He's going to he's promised to do some sort of feedback in the group about what his findings on it. I think he's coming from a S23 FE, not 24. Yeah. And I guess it's 6.7-inch device. It's got Android 16 out of the box, amazingly. One UI 8, 7 upgrades, which is just great. And you can get it up to 512 gigs of storage. IP68, 6.7-inch LTPO AMOLED screen with always on display. The whole thing. The Exynos 2400 chipset. It's hard to argue with it, really. It's even got Samsung DeX and wireless charging. Hard to argue, except that it's going to be 600 and, well, for the base model, it's 649, with the 256, which I think is essential these days. It's 699. So if that comes down to 599, I reckon that'll be a really good buy. Keep a person right stuck into the whole Samsung ecosystem. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think 649, like you say, it's a bit much. If you get a good trade-in, which they do tend to do decent trade-ins, it's probably a decent pick for an upgrade for a Sammy Knight. I never get really excited about the FEs myself, just because I always think, get last year's Ultra for that sort of price. But yeah, it's a nice device.
Yeah, except the Ultra is bigger, of course. It's
also,
true. It's also got 45 watt charging, cable charging. I think that's a first for the FE series.
That is very nice to have. Yeah.
And I think I think we mentioned this last time that it's got the battery in it as well. The what's it called?
Silicon carbon battery.
Yeah, that's the one. I think it's
got.
I think so. I got a feeling we mentioned this in passing last show.
Samsung was staying away from that, so that would be interesting if it has.
I've got a feeling it was, yeah. Anyway, so that's out there, and it's 649 base model, 699 for the proper one, and link in the show notes to that one. And the most exciting news of the week for me was that they've announced the Motorola Edge 60 Neo. Now, the Edge 50 Neo, as you will know, was my phone of the year for 2024, and it was a stonking phone. And they brought out the 60 to replace it. Well, not replace it, but to continue the line. It's got a few changes going on. The Gorilla Glass on the front has been upped to a higher level. It's got IP69 instead of just 68. They kept it at the same dinky size, which is really nice. Android 15, and they've also kept the promise of 5 OS and security updates, which is great. The chipset has been slightly increased to 7400 Dimensity instead of 7300, which is a nice increment too. Wireless charging has been kept the same. The battery's a bit bigger at 5200. In fact, it's significantly bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big upgrade there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. 4310 my one is. And this is 5200. Now, having said that, I've had no complaints at all about the performance of the battery. I think the battery in the 50 with that size of battery is just absolutely fine. Yeah, why not have some more battery? Yeah, just as dinky. Looks exactly the same to me, to be honest. Perhaps our PR people in the UK will get some of these out to us. What do you reckon?
Yeah, hopefully that goes on the rotation. I'm hoping to get the Ultra next, though. But yeah, I wouldn't mind getting hands on that at some point.
The Razer Ultra.
Yeah, that's what I've promised next. Yeah. But let's see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that. Right, okay then. So as I said earlier, it was Apple release day for iOS 26, but we've also had all this stuff going on about the iPhone 17. Do you want to take us through that?
Yeah, I can go do a rundown of that. So first off, start with the base model, the iPhone 17. So I'll do the changes versus the 16. There's no Plus model this year, which is a bit of a shame, but I didn't think it sold that well, to be honest. That's probably why. It's got a 6.3-inch screen now instead of the 16's 6.1, so the screen's slightly bigger. The 17 now has always-on display.
Hurrah!
Which you'll be happy to hear, yeah. it also has promotion technology, which is adaptive refresh rate from 1 Hz to 120 Hz, so that's very welcome as well. Peak brightness of 3000 nits versus the 16's 2000 nits. Mm-hmm. It's got Ceramic Shield 2, which is said to have 3 times better scratch resistance.
Hurrah!
So that can go through Jerry Riggs testing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 7-layer anti-reflective coating, again, added to the screen, which is similar to that of the S25 Ultra,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice to have.
Mm.
The 17 has the new A19 chip, which adds neural accelerators to the GPU and is said to be 20% faster than the A18. Excuse me. The whole 17 range has a new 18-megapixel. Now, I'm quite excited by this, actually. A new 18-megapixel center stage front camera, which is f1.9. Now, this, what's exciting about this is there's a square multi-aspect sensor, which allows the user to take both vertical and horizontal selfies without turning the device around. And they can do it just a tap on the screen to rotate and zoom. It's going to have ultra-stabilized video as well with that sensor. It's got dual capture and center stage for stills and video. So, yeah, really exciting on the selfie cam. That's going to go on...
Wait a moment. Yep. I remember Motorola doing this a few years ago. Now, let's see if I can remember which model it was. It was the One Action, I think. It was the One something, One Action. And when you turned the... It wasn't on the selfie. It was on the back-facing camera. And they were trying to get people to take... instead of taking video in portrait, they were trying to get people to take it in landscape. And whichever way you turned the phone around, it swiveled the sensor so that it took it in landscape. I suppose it's a bit different to that, but
Similar tech, maybe.
Maybe that was a
square sensor, maybe.
I don't know.
But it's quite exciting because, like I say, the ultra stabilized video is another aspect of that, which is quite good for your content creators doing vlogging and all sorts. Mm-hmm. So the main camera is 48 megapixel, which is the same as before, I believe. F1.6, 26 millimeter, one over 1.56 sensor, which is quite a good size. But the 13 millimeter ultra wide is upgraded to a 48 megapixel as well, versus the 12 megapixel one, which was on the 16. And that should allow for better macro, although prefer telemacro myself. So Bluetooth 6 versus 5.3, so that's another upgrade. And the MagSafe has been upgraded to 25 watt versus 22 watt on the 16. And the wired is now up to 40 watt versus 30 watt. So slightly faster charging there.
Mm-hmm.
It is 2 millimeters taller in height, 0.1 millimeter less in width, and the depth is 0.15 millimeter thicker. So not a great deal of difference there, but it does weigh 7 grams more, which probably won't notice that much. And now this is a great one. The base model is 256, which is really good. Yeah, definitely. And 512 gig is available as well. So it looks the same in style, really, but there's other color options, which you've got black, white, mist blue, sage, and lavender. The lavender looks quite nice, and the sage. It's got an aluminium frame, much like the 16, and it starts from 799. Any thoughts?
I thought it was titanium before, on the 16 or the... And they
that's the pro models.
Oh, is it?
One
bit of feedback I do have is the 256 baseline. That's really good, and I think that I hope Google are watching that and they're going to copy that for the Pixels, because I know Google want to drive everyone online, and they're saying they 128 gigabytes is enough, but it's not, and I'm sorry. The 256 should be the baseline now, and obviously Apple are going that way, so no doubt Google will copy now. But that's really good.
They need to.
Yeah, they need to. Yeah, I think
like these spec bumps do actually warrant the 799 before, whereas I'm not sure I could say that before. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a much better proposition.
Right.
So then, not surprised, because we had the leaks of this, but the big announcement was the iPhone Air.
Oh, yeah.
6.5-inch display with the same ceramic shield, promotion technology, and 3,000 nits, always on display, all that jazz. It's titanium frame, this one, with an action button and camera control, despite its thinness. It's got the OG ceramic shield on the back. It's got the A19 Pro chip, which the pros have, which I'll mention shortly. It's got the same brand new selfie, which is fantastic. One back camera, which is the same 48 megapixel. They market it as having four lenses, which would make us all cringe at camera creations, which basically is the sensor cropping. So you get 26, 28, 35 and 52 millimeter shots from the same camera. The battery is a bit of a concern for me. It's 3,149 milliamp hour battery. Obviously, they've done that because of the size. Charging is 20 watt MagSafe, 30 watt wired. That should charge fairly quickly with that battery size. It's available from 256 gigabyte up, again, at the base model. It goes all the way up to a terabyte.
Wow.
So loads of storage options there. Now, it's bigger than the 17, but smaller than what the 16 Plus was in height from height and width, at 156.2 millimeters or 6.15 inches in height. And the width is 74.7 millimeters, which is 2.94 inches. But, of course, its claim to fame is the depth, only being 5.64 millimeters thin, which is very thin. It only weighs 165 grams, which is 12 less than the new 17. And it has IP68 as well, like the 17 range has. Now, the big thing, though, it's eSIM in all markets.
Boo.
So eSIM only. And a mono speaker, which you wouldn't like.
Boo.
Which I believe...
I bet you it's good, though.
It probably is, yeah. I believe it's in the camera plateau.
Right.
The speaker. More on that as well with the pros. It comes in four colours, sky blue, light gold, cloud white and space black. They all look quite nice, actually. And it starts at $999.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give your thoughts, or should I give my thoughts quickly?
Well, my thoughts were about the eSIM only thing, really. Up to now, it's been USA only, but now it's everywhere, and it's just going to creep out, isn't it? And it's going to be just really tedious for people in the tech world like us who review phones. But most people are not going to be bothered, are they? It seems like... I was watching Mr. Brownlee's video on this, and he's very concerned about the model, in not only because of the eSIM only thing, but also he thinks that it's too thin, and he's not confident about it not breaking, for example. Now, there's a link in the show notes now to an article that popped up today in Fandroid, which said that Apple executives have dared people to bend them, and they reckon that they're unbendable. But we'll see what happens when they get to jerry rig everything, and he does the same thing with his usual testing. But yeah, they're very confident that it might be thin, but it's really, really well made. And it's not going to be a problem. Marquez was kind of wondering what they're doing, really. He was saying that this feels a bit like a first stab, and I think he used the phrase throwing it out to see what sticks. Well, that really is not like Apple. Apple have been not like that at all. That's the kind of stuff that Google have do, and the stuff that Samsung do. Samsung do with hardware, and Google do with software largely. But Apple are much more guarded than that normally. So I'm not sure if it is, if that is the motivation, but I did kind of take on board his observations. So your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. I'm not sure who these thin phones are for. I said the same when the Edge came out. Now, no doubt it will do well, because it will look pretty in the stores, because it does look very pretty.
Yeah.
But for what it offers, I think you're better off with the 17, or trumping up a little bit more for the 17 Pro, or even a 16 Plus maybe from last year, I don't know. But a potential red flag for me is that Apple announced an Air MagSafe battery pack for it, which suggests they know that the battery life's not going to be great.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And they can flog something else with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, talking of the Edge, when you go head-to-head, I would pick the Edge hands down. It's got a bigger battery, it's got the SIM slot, it's got stereo speakers, it's got two cameras with a 200-megapixel main and a 12-megapixel ultra-wide, a vapor chamber in there, and a higher-resolution 6.7-inch screen. So for me, obviously I'm biased slightly with the Android, being an Android user, but I would pick the Edge over the Air. But let's see, I'm sure it will do well. It feels like it's going for the fashion side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not like Apple's, really, is it?
yeah. Yes. I'm sure it will do. It will sell well because that's what Apple do. They sell stuff, and they're really successful at selling ideas and getting stuff out there, and it looks sexy and gorgeous. And regardless, the only fly in the ointment will be is if something horrible goes wrong with it, like Jerry Rigg finds it falls apart.
Zach loves to destroy phones.
Exactly. So, but apart from that, I think that everyone will just love it. In the same way as people have taken really well to the flip phones out there, I think that it'll be of the same kind of ilk, and people will really like it. But that's just my idea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Now, for the more exciting ones, at least in my opinion, is the 17 Pro and the Pro Max.
Right.
So I think this is really cool what they've done. It's a heat forged aluminium unibody, which gives less glass on the device, which is great.
That was the small... so that's the bit where this used to be titanium, was it?
Yeah, but the whole thing's changed. It's got a whole aluminium unibody now.
Okay.
And there's a little gap where you'll have the MagSafe, and on there there'll be a small ceramic shield glass panel on the back.
Oh, right.
But the majority of it's aluminium unibody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it has a vapor chamber as well, which is pretty huge. So that paired with the aluminium unibody should be really good for heat dissipation. So it'd be good to test that out. The new A19 Pro chip comes in 6.3 for the Pro and 6.9 inch for the Pro Max displays, much like the 16 series, but now with the Ceramic Shield 2. Has the same main and ultra wide as last year, as far as I can see, but a huge upgrade on the telephoto. So the 16 Pro models had a 12 megapixel periscope telephoto with a tiny 1 over 3.06 inch sensor, which is very small. But now it's, and that was a 5x optical. That was 120 mil, sorry, as well. But now it's a full upgraded 48 megapixel f2.8 4x optical, which I think is a better focal length, 100 millimeter lens. With a much more respectable 1 over 2.55 inch sensor. So that's a much bigger sensor, which is much needed with a telephoto for me. And they say it can get lossless 8x zoom, up to 200 millimeter zoom. So
is this where they got into hot water? Because they were trying to say it was 8 times optical zoom or something.
Yeah, because what it is, it's essentially, a sensor crop on there. So your 8x shots, I think, would be 12 megapixel, as far as I know.
Right.
But yeah, it should be.
But they were marketing it, apparently.
Yeah.
As an 8 times optical. And this is something else that Marques Brownlee picked up on and kind of wagged the finger at them about, I think.
To be fair, they all do it, though. Google do it. Samsung do it. They all say it because it is lossless zoom in a sense because it's cropping into that sensor, so it should still be good quality. But yeah, it's not technically optical, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
So the camera bar itself is dubbed the camera plateau, which is very interesting because on top of the camera it also houses other components. One of which is the antenna, which goes around the perimeter of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple says it's going to perform much better that way, so that'll be good. And the plateau,
well, is that the components. You mean the cellular antenna?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it won't be on the sides now. It'll be around that plateau.
Okay.
But also the plateau taking different components also allows for a bigger battery, so that's a welcome upgrade as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Pro Max is available in a whopping 2 terabyte option.
Wow, yay.
Yeah, but wait till you hear the price, Ted. So the colours are silver, deep blue, and a rather striking cosmic orange, which is the one I've gone for.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I think there was a Nokia that had an orange one. What was it?
Was that the N9? The N9 came in lots of colours.
Yeah, and I thought that was quite nice as well. The Pro starts at $1,099 at the 256 gigabyte option, and the Max is $1,199, which I think is the same as last year, as far as I know. Now, for the price on the 2 terabyte, if you are interested, is £1,999.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a big markup, isn't it, for the for storage?
Mm.
I wonder how much the 1 terabyte version is.
It's $1,599. I checked that.
So they're charging £400 for 1 terabyte of storage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very niche, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I think I'd rather have the deep blue one. I've seen the cosmic orange, but I think it's a bit too leery for me. I think the silver one is just boring, the same as most cars in the UK, boring silver. But the deep blue one, I think the deep blue was nice. So
it's funny you say it, because the deep blue is the one that hasn't sold as well. And you can, I went for the orange for another reason. I call it the Luton Pro Max. So Luton Football Club wear orange, and that's where I work. So yeah, that's another reason.
Yes.
Steve was even interested that he was saying he might upgrade. I don't know if you're sure if he went ahead with a pre-order or if he's going to go for it later on or what, but
on the basis of what? The improved 48 megapixel camera?
Yeah, because you know he always used to go on about the zoom gap, and now with it being 4x, the zoom gap's closed down quite a bit there.
Okay.
And with the bigger sensor on there, it should perform. I mean, there's lots of other stuff there as well, which is great. But yeah, I think that's definitely a thing for Steve.
All right, cool. All right then. So. What else? I'm sure this is all really exciting for Apple fans. It's a good job you're here, really, to fill in the gap now that Steve's not here. But which of these do you think is going to be the sellers, and which ones? I personally think the Air will be a novelty buy, but still a lot of people will buy it. And the iPhone 17, dinky at 6.3 inches. I think that my Pixel 9 is just the right size. It's lovely. I think they'll sell a lot of those. And the big ones, the Pro and the Pro Max and what have you, that they're going to be enthusiasts, aren't they? People like Steve, who are going to make the most out of the camera, and possibly you. Which one have you got coming?
I've got the Pro Max coming. I said I was going to get Pro, but it worked out £3 more a month to get the Pro Max. I was like, go on then.
oh, you've got that on the contract, have you? Right.
Yeah, because I can switch up, can't I? So after 90 days, if I want to, I can switch it up. So I don't have to keep it forever. I was going to quickly look, because apparently in China, the sales were massive.
Mm-hmm.
I think this range has done really well. And if it does well in China, it bodes well, really. I think this is going to be a really good seller for Apple. I think the upgrades are really good. I would argue that the 17 is a much better buy now. I think a lot of pro users might drop down to the 17.
Right.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's my hot take.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. Well done. Well, well done for mopping up that, having not got an Apple expert in the house, really. But as I said at the upset, we've got Pip coming on in 2 weeks' time, and hopefully he will have had some time with his device, by which time you will have had time with yours as well, or not?
Well, so the pre-order window started at 1. I got my email 17 minutes past 1, and it was estimated to come on launch 3 o'clock that day. I got another email saying, sorry, it's going to be delayed by up to 2 weeks. So
brilliant.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with that. And I think the Orange in particular has sold really well, because that's what all the graphics have, all the POS in stores, EE3, all of them have the same picture. So yeah, I think it's been a good seller, that one.
Right. So you don't know when it's coming then?
No idea at all.
So Pip's coming on the 29th of September, and he reckons he's getting his delivered in, when was it? I can't remember what he said.
For launch day, Friday 19th. Yeah,
the 19th, yeah.
Mm.
So he should, no, it's not the 19th yet, is it? No. So he should have had it for 10 days or whatever before he comes on. So hopefully he can help us fill in the gaps with that. And we'll go forward with it. Anything else to say on Apple front?
No, I don't think so. I'm just really looking forward to testing it out, really, because for once, I'm actually excited to test an Apple device out, which is rare for me to say, I must say.
And by the time Pip comes on, I'll have also got the iOS 26 on with the liquid glass claptrap, so we can compare notes on that anyway, from a non-Apple user point of view as well. So we'll see how we go. Okay, software news. There's a number of things here which I was getting really excited about because they were coming along, reported mainly by Android Authority, and I tested all of them on my Pixel 9, and none of them are here yet. Pixel Screenshot, apparently, is going to be able to read aloud articles. So off I went, screenshotted an article from Chrome, put it into Pixel Screenshots. Well, it goes in automatically, and followed the advice, and no, nothing there at all. So that presumably is coming. It will just read aloud directly from in Pixel Screenshots, which is a Pixel exclusive feature at the moment. No doubt it will come broader eventually. And Androidify is back as well. I don't know if you remember that. It used to be this bit of software that Google kicked out, and it let you build your own little emoji icon Android robot thingy. and then make it, you upload a picture of some of yourself, if you like, or anything, and it turns it into an Androidify robot. Well, I went and followed the advice on that one again. It uploaded, it went through the motions of making it, and then it just, every single time, it failed, and it just said it can't do it at the moment or something. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong with that.
I managed to do it.
Did you?
I put a black and white image up, so it gave me a grey hair and grey beard on my little Androidify. I'll send you it later.
Oh, okay. I'll have another go then, so that might work. And also, something else that's not working yet, hopefully, is, you know, the thing that we'll come to in a minute with the Honor 400 Pro Magic V5 photo to video based on Google's VO3. Well, apparently that's rolling out to Google Photos. But I've been in there to look, and it's not there. So I can only assume that it's, again, rolling out probably to America first, as usual, with Google. And it's just not here yet. Whether or not you own a Pixel 9 or 10, if you're in the UK, I think you can't get it. And the last bit of news was that the Android's favourite launcher for everyone for such a long time, including me, Nova, looks like it's probably bitten the dust. Now, it's not bitten the dust in the sense that it's going to stop working immediately, but the one guy that was left at the helm, Barry something or other, he has been kind of laid off, and he's been told not to develop any further. The plans for it going open source were shelved and stopped, and it just looks as though it's going to die out. It will keep working as it is, but it won't be supported, and it won't be added to in terms of features or anything. So, you know, expect over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, that eventually will kind of become unusable, which is a shame, but it's a good opening for Octopi. Hey! My favourite launcher of the moment. Any thoughts on any of that?
It's not sponsored.
No, I'm certainly not. Any thoughts on any of that news?
Yeah, the VO3 Google thing we'll get into a bit later. The V5 has the image to video, and I don't know what's happening with my unit. I had I could do it three times as a free trial, and the next day it came up like I needed to pay 51p. And I thought, oh, maybe that's for like a trial period or something, because I went for it, and it was for one video. And it came out really badly. I didn't even save it. I did get a refund though via PayPal. Cheapskate. But yeah, it was rather disappointing. I mean, I knew it was always going to be a paid feature eventually, but 51p per video from an image, it's not worth it.
We were talking about this offline, off air, and you got me to test my 400 Pro, and I did, and it's still working absolutely fine. And then we started to talk about what the rules are, what they were when it first came out. I understood that it was only tied to the Honor 400 Pro, or maybe the Honor 400 as well, but the Honor 400 series phones. And it was a deal struck with Google just for those phones and no other. And I was surprised that it worked at all on the Magic V5, to be honest. But it was all very woolly about. It said you could do 10 a day for 2 months, but it didn't say when that 2 months started, whether it was when you first opened your Honor account or you first set up an Honor phone. It just wasn't at all clear what that meant. I don't know if you've been able to dig any further with that, have you?
No, I think I need to ask the question because I hate things like that without clarity. So I will ask the question, I'll find out for the next show. My
Okay.
homework.
All right. That's cool. And Nova, were you a fan?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I did buy Nova. I didn't use it much because I tend to use the launchers that are on any device. But it's really sad because I know lots of people that do like to use Nova on whatever device they have. So it's really sad that that's going. And sometimes, do you know what? I've strangely, I put it on tablets quite a lot. I don't know
Oh,
why.
right. Okay.
Yeah, I liked some of the features on it for a tablet.
It did raise the question also, with all this going on, about what it means to buy into something and to pay for something. Because when I bought my Nova launcher, Prime, it was a lifetime membership, a lifetime thing. But actually, that's not really, I mean, basically, you're renting it. And we had that discussion in the MeWe group, and everyone acknowledges that's how it is. You rent things to use them. You don't really buy them for life, inverted commas. You buy the use of them until someone stops developing it, which is exactly what's happened here. So, yeah.
I want my 80p back.
I paid more than that, you
Oh, did you? Yeah,
cheapskate.
I got it on a deal. You know, UK's Hot Deals. I think someone posted it on PSC actually. Yeah, I jumped on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm going to launch into my proper feedback, which I touched on last week on the Honor 400 Pro. And maybe as I go through, you'd like to chip in as well with your
Yep.
thoughts. You had the phone as well before you swapped it for something else. You've now got the Magic V5,
Yep.
and you've still got another Magic phone, haven't you?
Yes, I've still got the Magic 7 Pro as
7
well.
Pro, right, okay.
Yeah.
So between us, we'll be able to kind of chip in. And as usual, when I do this kind of thing, I kind of roll through my findings as I find them. And so that's what I'll do here. No, in no particular order, really. It's just that when I went to start setting the phone up, I found that there were quite a lot of niggles, frankly. But I decided to keep it anyway because I think that there's, as I'll conclude later, there's enough here for it to be in stock and kept. One of the things that first came up, which I was really annoyed about initially, was a Chinese looking page in amongst the setup pages, and I thought to myself, this rogue page has slipped through the net. Now I put a picture of the rogue page in the show notes there, so you can see. And I honestly can't remember, I don't think, whereabouts in the setup it was, but it just said to me that this is probably something that slipped through the net when they globalized it and they just didn't do it properly. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just slipped through because obviously in the Chinese market it's a slightly different operating system. So yeah, I mean that would be a bit alarming, that popping up.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, it didn't affect me in any way. There's an English button at the bottom that just says next, and you can just Skype through it. You don't have to know what it says. I did actually put Google Translate on it, and I did find out what it said, but I can't remember what it was now, but it was something not significant for anything really. But it was the fact that it was there really. The lock screen signature. You know, on an Android phone, on the front lock screen, you normally get the opportunity to put your signature or whatever you want, and I tend to put on there my email address. So if I lost my phone, they can email me. It's a bit pointless putting your phone number on it because they wouldn't be able to phone you. But I put my email address on it. Anyway, on this one, it's left aligned, and I thought to myself, what? Who on earth designing this would left align the signature line, the message line on the front? You can see a picture of that as well on the in the recording notes here, and that just seems bonkers and just not thought out well to me.
Yeah, I've just noticed on my V5 it's the same, but
Is it?
I've got capital letters and stupidly I've got it saying screen on time, which is no use to anyone, but yeah, it's left aligned as well.
That's just mad, isn't it? I wonder why they've done that. I suppose you could make it long enough to put some spacers in at the front and make it stretch across, which is a bit nuts as well. One thing I've got to say about the Magic Capsule is that that worked really well with all media players that I've tried. Now, the BBK phones that I tried that with, so, you know, the OnePlus and the... and the Oppo phones, they only will work with this Magic Capsule or whatever they call it. It's the Dynamic Island thing that only works with Spotify, and they need to change that. That's one really tedious thing about OnePlus phones. If you want to use the Magic Capsule or whatever they call it, Live Alert, I think they call it, don't they? You've got to basically use Spotify or nothing. Whereas in this phone, it works with all media players I tried. Have you tested that?
Yeah, because I often watch YouTube, especially on the V5. So it's quite handy having that little capsule at the top. Which basically copies Apple again.
Yeah, yeah. It's a total Apple copy, which I'll come to in a minute. The Material 3 M3E is rolling out to all the apps nicely, which works really well. There's doubling up of core apps all over the place, so that's very kind of Samsung and others. Having said that, the calendar app, like Samsung's, is really good. It's a very impressive. I don't know if you use the calendar app, but if you get the calendar widget on your home screen, which is what I've done, and tap on it, it syncs up beautifully with my Google Calendar, and it echoes it all really nicely. Have you tried that?
I think I'm using the Google one.
Okay, well, give it a try. Yeah, give it a try, because it's really nice. It's very much like the Samsung one, and I think the Samsung one's very impressive too. The always-on display is great. It's okay. No, it's not great. It's good. It's not bright enough for me, because no always-on display, apart from Samsung and Sony, is bright enough for me. But what I don't like about it is that it's not an LTPO display, and so you don't get the option to have the full screen picture on the, like you do with an iPhone or with the newer Samsungs, I think, and you can have the whole picture in the background of the always on display, and you can't do that here. It doesn't work. If you try to put it into the full screen setting, the always on display just doesn't work. It takes away the always on option from the list, and so you've got to put it onto partial screen, and if you put it onto partial screen, that's all you get. What else have we got?
Have you tested at night, if you turn it to landscape, it's rather nice. You get like a little clock on your bedside. It's really nice. That's what I do at night.
If you're in the full screen one.
Yeah, so as long as you have to have it turned on. I can't remember what feature it is, but you turn your phone landscape and it brings up a little clock. There's different options there for you as well.
Like an iPhone landscape thing.
Yeah. Similar to that.
Okay, I'll explore that then, because that would be quite useful. Because if I then put it, go to bed and turn it on its side, it will kind of be more useful in that respect. As long as it still works on the Qi charger in that respect.
It's under the standby section. Home screen and style, yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look. But I mean, generally, the lock screen, the home screen, the theming, the icons, all of that is confusing and a bit of a mess. And getting to the settings is often, tedious. This whole thing about how you get widgets onto the home screen is just a confusing mess. I can't believe they've done this cards thing. They've completely gone their own way. All Android phones that I've ever used, if you long press the home screen, you get the widgets up. No, not with this. You've got to pinch it in and then enter their system and blah, 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 blah. So there's that.
Yeah, that's why I made a video, to be fair, because Magic OS does need a top-to-tips video, because it is a bit different. Even to scan a QR code, you have to go to Google Lens top left, which is frustrating as well. Yeah. There you go.
Face recognition. Yeah, face recognition is really good, very impressive. The fingerprint scanner is really good, even though it's only optical under the glass. It works really well, particularly in tandem with the face recognition. We've covered the video, the image to video thing, which is great fun. We also talked on the last show about outpainting when we did that Chris Kelly shot, which is really impressive, and others are doing that as well. The Qi charging is really good. It's really fast. In fact, generally speaking, the battery performance is really fab. The Qi charging you can do at 50 and the wired charging at 100, I think it is. And that really works well. The speakers are super. And it's got this silly 200% thing going on as well, which I think it's some HMD that did that as well. 200% volume. If you don't use the 200% volume and keep it at the 100%, the sound is really good quality and it's loud enough. And I'm not sure what they put that thing in for, really. But yeah, lots of layers of stuff to get to any settings. You can't get rid of some things as well. Like, for example, a bit like Pixel on the homepage, you can't get rid of the elements. Well, with this one, you can't get rid of the suggested apps at the top of the app drawer. And I just find that really annoying. I guess they're trying to encourage people not to use the app drawer and do it the Apple way. But, you know, I want to use an app drawer, but I don't want to see those suggested apps at the tops. And you also can't get rid of the A to Z down the side. These are more things that I'm, you know, when you use Octopi Launcher or any other launcher, you realise that these are the sorts of things that are so easy to control, and they're kind of stuck here.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
My thoughts on that. So I like the A to Z, but they should give you options. And funny you say about the app drawer, it's set up out of the box without an app drawer, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. So what you said there about their suggesting they would rather you not use an app drawer, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. It's very, very Apple, isn't it? In lots of little ways like that, including the control center, which is pure Apple. And unlike Samsung and OnePlus, incidentally, there's no option to merge it with notifications. So that's really annoying because I want to be able to have the choice of using the control center or not. And the times that I pull the screen down, I suppose over time you get used to it, but time and time and time again I'm pulling it down from the middle and it's pulling the control center down, and I've got to remember, then muscle memory, no, do it on the left, you've got to pull it down the left, and I still haven't got used to that yet, and it catches me out all the time. Very, very annoying. So I've banged on about the widgets and all that sort of thing. The icons in the status bar, I discovered, are too small, but then they are in most phones for me, to be fair, except the Pixel. They just need to be bigger. The battery icon, you can put the percentage outside the icon, but you can't get rid of the icon. Now, shout out to OnePlus here, because you can manipulate the status bar on OnePlus as much as you want. Well, here you can't. And furthermore, if you use Magic Capsule, when Magic Capsule comes on, the percentage pops back inside the battery icon. So, you know, if they just let you take the icon away altogether, none of that would happen. So that's really annoying as well.
That is strange.
Yeah. But I've got nothing bad to say about the screen, though. I thought that Motorola's screens held the standard for brightness and colour and vibrancy for me, and clarity and everything else. But this is even further. Now, as I understand it, Honor make their own screens. I did try to investigate that a bit, and they don't get the screens from anywhere. They actually make them, and they do this PWM dimming thing, which is to do with high frequencies, reducing flicker and eye strain, all that sort of thing. I'm sure you know all about this because you probably have to tell all your customers as a Honor hero exactly all about it. But the net result for me, the user, is that the screen is probably its best feature. It's just gorgeous, and it's just the layout of the clarity of the icons and the text and everything is just brilliant. Really, really good.
In fact, like when you look at Honor devices, there's a whole eye comfort section. Because they do a circadian night display as well, where it adjusts the color temperature. They do a defocus eye care thing as well, which is simulate myopic defocus images to alleviate eye strain. So they do loads of other stuff to really look after your eyes. It is really, really good. And I'm surprised others haven't jumped on some of this stuff.
Yeah. So they've obviously spent quite a lot of time doing their screens, presumably in league with Huawei, I would guess. There's no HDMI out support, which, to be fair, I don't use anymore. It's a nice tick box to have, but I don't use it. PhoneLink works after a struggle. I fight with that. But PhoneLink also gives you, much like the VVK group phones, the full suite of app control and pass-through audio. That works really well. So it's still some devices don't give you all of that. I guess they're working on it, but these ones do, and the Honor does, which is really good for those that want to use Microsoft services in a Windows computer. There's this Honor RAM Turbo, which is set to 12 gigabytes out of the box, and you can't change that. You know, with most phones, you can go into the RAM boost or whatever they call it and turn it off and then reboot the phone and stop it working. But you can't with this. It's stuck on all the time. So there's that.
I've not looked at that, actually. You should be able to turn it off, you'd think, wouldn't you?
You would think so, but you can't. I promise you, you can't, unless they change that in an update. I'll tell you one thing they did change in an update. When the August update came through last week, they changed the long press power menu button thingy. Now, prior to that update, if you long press the power button, you just get the Google Assistant. And if you go into the options to change what it does, it doesn't include the power menu. Since they've obviously had lots of people complain about that, so since this update, they've made it so that when you've got the option of long pressing the power button and it goes to the power menu like all the other Android devices. So that's really cool, and I'm glad they did that.
Before, you had to do like power and one of the volume buttons, up, I think. Yeah, it was right. a bit frustrating.
So if you press the power before this change, if you press the power button for long enough, eventually you get this instruction manual. You're quite right, that says press power and volume up, and you get the menu. It's a bit of a kludge, like a lot of things, I think, in the software layer on this phone, which is a bit of a shame, really. So now this 6 years of updates thing, I've looked further into this, and I think I'm right in saying now that if you buy your phone in Europe or the UK, you get 4 OS updates and 6 years of security. So initially they were pushing 6 years of updates. So it comes on 15, it's 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, but it actually it's not. It's 4 and 6 security, as I understand it. If you're in the far, if you buy the phone in the Far East, you don't even get that. You get 2 OS updates and 4 years of security. So I reckon this is something that they've had to comply with for the EU. Good for us, I suppose. Did you know anything about all that?
No, I was under the impression it was OS as well, so that's interesting to hear. But, you know, remember last week you mentioned the A07 from Samsung is getting 6 years.
Yeah.
So maybe that is an EU thing.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's what they're complying with, and they don't want to be fined for not doing it. But there you go. Have you tried the knuckle thing? That's quite interesting.
I have a little bit.
It's a bit like Circle to Search, really, except you kind of, there's this whole series of almost Motorola-style gestures, and if you knock this with your knuckle, I tried it with the flat of my finger, and it doesn't work. It knows you're using your knuckle. You knock it twice to take a screenshot. You knock it twice. No, hang on a minute. You knock with your knuckle and draw an S to take a scrolling screenshot. You knock and then draw an area to capture a part of the screen. and knock twice on the screen with two knuckles to start screen recording. So they baked in this whole knuckle thing to, and it's just bizarre. I've never seen anything like it before. I think OnePlus probably came closest with some of their gestures, but not with a knuckle.
Yeah, it does work rather well, though, to be fair. Yeah, it is pretty sufficient. And there's nothing you can do, three fingers down on the screen, and that also takes a screenshot.
Oh, right, yeah, that's right, yeah. Or puts it into that, what's that area called? Private something?
It's your, what's it called again now? I'm on a here and I've forgotten the name. It's terrible,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can move things into your favourite space. Your
favourite space. Favourite space, that's it, yeah. So you can kind of capture stuff on the screen, and then if you hold on to it, the whole of the left side of the screen kind of shuffles slightly backwards, and the menu comes out like a sidebar from the right, or the left, I think. And you drop it into wherever you want it to go. It's quite interesting to use. And
what's good about it, Ted, is like things like, say you highlight an address, it will recommend Google Maps to drop it into.
Right.
So AI recommends what apps suitable for what you're picking, which is quite good.
Yeah, I guess so. Until it doesn't.
Yeah. So, doesn't always get it right.
No. So we've talked about the image to video thing as well, and that's done. So do you want to just say a bit about Pete Warner's findings? He got the lower down version. I'm not sure how much lower down it is. How much lower is it?
So in the UK, it's the one before your 400 Pro. The 300 series didn't come out in the UK. So he had the Honor 200 Pro, and he says it's almost the perfect phone. Mm-hmm. A large 5,200 milliamp hour battery, a silicone carbon battery, I might add. It says 2 days use easily. 512 of storage as standard with 12 gig of RAM, which is one thing that's really good about Honor, actually, the amount of storage you get. Yeah, sounds quite similar to you, actually, is the awful software, he says. He's tried really hard with Magic OS, but just can't get on with it. I want to use the default launcher, and I have for a couple of weeks, but now I've put Smart Launcher on. Had to go back to the free button navigation as well. But it's worth it, he says. It's worth it. The cameras are excellent. He can see Chichester Cathedral spire from a flat from his flat. From about 400 meters away, and zoom in 5x, and the photos are awesome. He says he thinks some AI may be involved, which he probably is right there. But the Honor phones are crazy good value, and I 100% agree. And if you wait a few months, you can have yourself a real bargain. So I don't know if that's him suggesting it's going to go on classified at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think he means generally, not his.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of agree with him. My early verdict really of the phone is that the 400 Pro is that it feels like something of a powerhouse. There are little things that kind of stop it from feeling absolutely 100% like a flagship, but it's very, very, has the very kind of powerhouse feel about it. And yeah, I think Pete is right. The software kind of lets it down a bit. I haven't myself resorted to Octopi Launcher yet, apart from just to test it. I've stuck with it, and I'm trying to do this. But, I think that people probably will, if they don't fix some of these things. And to be fair, it looks like they are willing to listen to the users and fix some of these things. So, my early verdict is I really, really like it. And I, on a daily basis, I really want it to have my SIM card. And there are just these few little irritations that stop it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to just say, the short time I've been using Honor, I will say the Magic OS has matured quite a lot already.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly loads that need fixing. But I'm quite positive about the future with them because they do seem to listen. They do seem to fix things. So let's watch this space.
Yeah.
For me, the 400 Pro is the sweet spot this year.
Yeah.
I know Chris Bates has gone for one, so it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it's the sweet spot. It's not quite a flagship, but the value for money is really there. Really, really great chipset. The specs are great. Yeah, it's a really good option.
Very good indeed. Okay, so jumping back to your stuff then, was there anything else you wanted to cover today?
The only thing I was going to say, and this goes for the V5, but also the Fold 7, I find the inner screen is much more robust, and like previous foldables I've had, you know, when your nails are a bit longer on your fingers, you always felt like you could easily mark it and make a little indent. Whereas the V5 and the Fold 7, you don't feel that way. You don't worry. It just feels, where it's that little bit more thicker, it just feels so much more robust, and you don't have that worry at all, which is great to see foldables going that way.
Does that affect the sensitivity at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. The inner screen's beautiful. The V5 is just an all-round beautiful refinement on the V3, which I really liked as well. But that extra robustness, it's really noticeable for me. And that's my main takeaway on the V5 so far. It just feels so much more sturdier, despite being thinner.
Can you use a stylus with it?
Yes, inner and outer screen. And in fact, I think the window's still open when you buy it. I know it is at O2. You can actually get the Magic Pencil for free as a gift with purchase, and it's worth about £80. Right. There's other gifts with purchase as well. But yeah, it's quite... Yeah, I need to get myself one. They said they was going to give me one, but I think I'm going to have to chase it up because, like, you was meant to get a Magic 7 Pro. It never happened, so... Yeah, they do take a bit of chasing sometimes.
Yeah. it's something also that Samsung are doing. So if you buy a Fold device, you get a stylus still, don't you? Well, I got one.
Fold 7 no longer has stylus.
Oh, support, right,
which is a huge thing, which is obviously Honor are bragging about, that they've gone thinner without the compromise.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, in terms of battery, so I think it's 4,400 milliamp battery for the Fold 7. The Magic V5 is 5,820 milliamp battery. So it's a massive difference in battery size.
Right.
When I went to the launch, they said it can get up to 9 hours more. I don't know how true that will be, though, because I don't think people are complaining about the battery on the Fold 7.
Right.
But they're both lovely foldables. Honestly, if you're going to get a foldable now, it is a really good time to get one, I think.
I was using my Fold 5 today, and it's just unusable, frankly. The outside, it's fine on the inside, but the outside screen is just so narrow. With the best will in the world, and armed with Octopi to offset the rubbish way in which the launcher works on the outside screen, it's just unusable. When you come to typing anything on the keyboard, it's just tiny. I'm so glad that they made the Fold 7, well, and the 6 was slightly wider as well, wasn't it? I'm so glad that they've rethought that, because I know some people are okay with it that being that thin, but to me it's a bit tedious.
It's funny, like, someone was doing a switch-up in store today, and they had it must be a Fold 6, and they'd gone to the Fold 7, and she had them side-by-side open doing her data transfer. And the Fold 7 really is way more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful piece of hardware. And like you say, even if you don't use the inner screen that much, you've got... It's like with the thinness,
yeah,
and the larger outer screen, it's like a normal candy bar phone anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got the best of both worlds. It really is. They are really great devices.
Yeah. The Far East.
Quite pricey though.
Yeah, yeah. But they're knocking it out of the park, really, aren't they? The Far East devices, including Samsung, they're getting this big folding device kind of right now, I think. It's just starting to come together, and I've just got the tail end, I think, of the not so good ones. Talking of thin screens, I did a revisit on my Sony Xperia 5 Mark IV this week. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. I revisited it because it was sat here, just gone out of support from Sony, and I thought, is this is it usable in 2025? It was only given two updates, which is a shame. It's a lovely little device. So yeah, in the show notes I shall link to my thoughts as I revisited it, and to see if it was usable as a primary device out of security support, only with Play system support going forward, which on Google's track record will be another 7 years, so there's not really much danger involved in using it. But anyway, link in the show notes to see what my thoughts were on that one. We've got Jim Fowle coming on the show in November, and he sent me over his Bigme Highbreak Pro, which is a e-ink phone, a bit like the Books Palmer, which we have spoken about before on the show, but with actually a cellular aerial in it as well. And so I've got that in the house, and I'm starting to look at that. And so when Jim comes on, we'll come back to that and we'll talk about it some more, because it's certainly an interesting device, and it's more interesting because the company Bigme are now also bringing out a brand new color version of it. So by the time Jim comes on the show, we should have the color. And knowing him, he'll probably have bought it as well. So he'll have the color one, and I'll have his mono one. So we'll go for that one. Okay, so I think that's it on our what's going on with us at the moment. So we'll just leap straight into the photo of the week. And a reminder that the poll for the August photo of the month is running. So if you haven't casted your vote on that, do so. It's in the MeWe group, PSE Photos at MeWe. I picked a photo this time, and it is by Mark Surrey, entitled Down Amongst the Fungi, which he took with the Samsung Galaxy S25 Edge, another thin phone. And I just quite like this because it's a picture of foliage and greenery and a mushroom looking thing taking center stage, the head of which is the rule of thirds very nicely. And what struck me was that I don't think he's tinkered with it, but this is a Samsung, and I was expecting there to be more colour or more saturation, particularly of the kind of velvier popping of the greens, but there's not. I wonder if Samsung have toned it down a bit. But it's a great shot. I think the depth of field was just right, and lots of interest in the frame throughout, and yeah, a really nice shot, I thought. Any thoughts?
Yeah, my first thoughts are water droplets and bokeh balls. There's like loads of bokeh there. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a lovely shot. The colours look great on my V5 and on my Samsung laptop. But I do prefer slightly more muted colours. I think Samsung's have improved in that field, because they were, greens especially, quite disgusting at times. But I think they're respectable now. I do wonder if the shot was taken a bit lower down, and the head of the mushroom was, you know, in the black background part at the top, was sort of framed in there, what it looked like. But that's easier said than done, getting lower down sometimes.
Yeah, it looks like it was low enough as it was.
Yeah, I certainly struggled myself. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a lovely shot. I really like it.
Yeah, very nice. Well done, Mark. And yeah, as I say, do go and check out the poll for the August photo of the month, which is running at the moment. Just before we go, we'll do the classifieds and the picks. I picked Dean Cooksey's Moto Buds Loop. Now, these are a pair of earbud thingies, which, incidentally, most of the stuff in the group is Apple-heavy, as you might imagine this week, as people move on their old Apple stuff and make room for the new. But I homed in on Dean's Moto Buds Loop for £90, which I think looked really nice. I've got a pair of Soundcore ones, so I don't need to buy them. Sorry, Dean. They do look nice. And I remember watching you on that video that you made with Wilk and Lee, and they were being passed round at that event. So I wondered if you had any thoughts or memories of them or anything.
Well, no, I only really got to see them. I didn't really test them out at all. But funny enough, the pair that really caught my eye was the green pair, which is on sale there.
Yeah.
And they really are a gorgeous looking device. And you know, you can get some with more bling if you want. They've also got a new collab now with Swarovski. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And it's dubbed a brilliant collection, which is rather bringing. Yeah. But they look really good actually, especially for £90. I've heard quite good things about them.
Yeah.
Because it's got Bose sound by Bose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they are quite nice. And I'm sure they're probably better than my Soundcore ones, but it would seem a bit churlish to buy two pairs. But someone buy Dean's Moto Buzz Loop. I think they're sealed. He must have probably got them with a phone or something. So let's share around the benefit, everyone. Did you get a pick?
I did. I was going to go for Alan Newton's Samsung Ultra Watch at £170 because that looks like a great watch for that money. Yeah. But I thought I'd better pick a phone. And it's quite an interesting one. Mark Peters has the TCL Next Paper 60 Ultra on there for £400. Never tried one of them. So, I'll take that, please.
Unfortunately, I think you'll find, I could be wrong, I think you'll find it's sold. But I think it sold pretty quickly. But it's interesting nonetheless, though, because this Next Paper 60 Ultra, I've got the TCL 50 Pro Next Paper here, and I had it out today and I was testing it. I didn't realize that it works with a pen.
Noticed that.
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought that the 60 Ultra, the new one, this one, worked with a pen, but I didn't think my 50 Pro did. But I looked it up today, and I got out my drawer full of about 10 different pens, and sure enough, about three of them worked with it. I thought, oh, that's great.
Ah,
never knew
that's
that.
Excellent.
Yeah. So not only have you got a nice little reader thingy for books and stuff, but also a phone and a notepad. Brilliant.
Excellent.
Nowhere to put the pen, mind you, but there you go.
Yeah, not surprised that sold actually, because that really did catch my eye. It looks nice.
Yeah, right, I think we're done, aren't we? How long have we been recording for today?
No idea.
I've completely lost track of time. Hopefully it's not too long. Thanks to everyone for your support, as always. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. PayPalMe.TedSalmon. You can buy me a copy there, and you can get Joe one as well at PayPalMe. What is it?
No idea.
PayPalMe. Oh, hang on a minute. Here it is. Link. Here we go. It's your Hickey 85 thingy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
paypal.me/Hickey85. So you can buy Joe a copy there as well. And if you want to buy anything on Amazon, you can do that with my affiliate link. I'd be very grateful. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Anything else you get lost with, you can find at PodHub UK or at my website at tedsalmon.com. Links out to all the other audio podcasts and all the MeWe groups and everything that you need come out from there. So that's about it, I think, Joe. Anything else to say?
No, I think it's a cheery goodbye.
Cheery goodbye,
like Steve would used to say, yeah.
Cheery goodbye from us. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another show, unless there's a burning urge to do one next Monday, in which case, keep on your toes, we may be back. But yeah, next scheduled show is with Pip, when we'll be talking about more in-depth on his new iPhone. So until then, have fun, and we'll see you in a fortnight.
Goodbye.